This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living and I'm Meera Sevisodhi. It's our mental health clinic today. What it is? It is our first mental health clinic show where a mental health expert joins us to answer your questions about how to manage stress, anxiety and other psychological or even emotional issues in your daily life. This is the first show for the year and joining us on the line, Professor Dr. Alvin Ng. He's a clinical psychologist. So you can call us and ask us anything you want to ask about your mental health. And today's focus is on mental health and your work. I mean, with COVID last year, and even now it's going on, a lot of us have gone through a whole load of mental stress in some way or another. And, you know, that's something that's come up in all literature, that the world population sort of suffered from mental health issues throughout the COVID period. And that's continuing right now. And of course, it's difficult because many of us have had to go to work and continue with our daily lives. How has that impacted you? So if you have a question, you can call us on 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Alvin. How are you today?
I'm not too bad. Thanks, Meera. How are you?
I'm well, and congratulations. I hear you're a professor now.
Yes, thank you.
What does that mean, Alvin? I mean, how is that different for you? I mean, you're a clinical psychologist, but being a professor, what difference does it make?
Yeah, well, in academia, professor basically means you profess in something. So in my case, I profess in psychology. Although I'm trained as a clinical psychologist, I no longer do any clinical work. I'm a full-time academician. And being a professor basically means I'm on top of the game with regards to psychology.
Okay, research and all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I was talking about earlier, a lot of literature has come out about mental health and COVID. A lot of people have gone through some sort of mental health issue. Whether you realize it or not, there has been some amount of stress. And what have been your observations over the last 1 year?
Well, it's definitely we are in challenging times. It's difficult for everyone, myself included, because where I work, you know, we have to change to online teaching, like fully online, like very quickly. So adapting to change is difficult for everyone. And it's also very disruptive. So any kind of change is very stressful. So we are going through huge changes. So we can expect our stress to also be very, very high. And that's for the majority of us. And those who have actually been infected with COVID and are survivors, they also are at very high risk of having all kinds of psychological problems, you know, further worries, and some might even not be functioning as well as before. So it affects your daily functioning. It disrupts your life. So all the more difficult to live with.
Okay. We're going to be focusing on mental stress or, you know, your mental health and work. We have a question here via WhatsApp. And if you have a question, once again, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or just tweet us at BFM Radio or pick up the phone and give us a call. It's 7733 2900. First question is, Alvin, can too much stress or being overworked actually cause mental illness to develop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anything that's extreme stops you from functioning the way you should function. Anything that is prolonged would basically stop you functioning for a longer time, and that would be hugely disruptive to not just you, but the people living with you. So, I mean, when that happens, we know that it affects the body. Our physical body would actually be affected. You know, there's a huge connection between our physical health and our mental health. So you would end up not just having mental health problems, even psychiatric problems, you also have physical problems. So yes, if you are living with stress for a very long time, I would recommend that you seek help as quickly as possible.
Okay. We have one question here on attitude towards work.
I'm in advertising And lately, I find my attitude towards work to be in a couldn't care less or whatever mood. So I'm usually able to bounce back, but this time around, it's becoming a big concern because I'm feeling very detached from what I really love to do. Is losing interest in my own passions a sign of a mental health issue?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Alban.
Yeah, it's very common feeling that way. Even I felt that way also last year. It's called burnout. And burnout is actually a mental health condition that is listed under the International Classification for Diseases, 11th edition by the World Health Organization. And it's specific to the workplace. So if you feel that you're becoming more detached to your work, you are more tired than usual, you start making mistakes that you don't normally make, you have difficulties paying attention, concentrating on your work, easily distracted, you feel like your whole work life is chaotic, takes you much more time to finish your work. In fact, you may even have difficulties with time management, maybe being very impatient, short-tempered. If you take all these things, you are likely to be burnt out at work.
What are some coping mechanisms, Alvin?
Well, firstly, I would say seek help. Get help. Talk to your colleagues about it and see what, as a group, you can do about it. Because it's not just your problem, especially when you're at work. You're part of the system. And if you remain that way, the system needs to change in a way. And you also need to make some changes yourself, which is why seeking professional help is very important. And at the same time, also managing the system that you're working in.
And, you know, how can employers help? And this is another question. How, as an employer, can we help if we suspect any of our employees are going through some hard times?
Yeah, well, it's something that's a tricky thing, isn't it? Because a lot of people who are going through emotional and, mental type difficulties tend to be very shy, I suppose, about the whole issue. Because there's such a huge negative stigma that's attached to anything mental. So some of the things that employers do is to provide some sort of mental health and psychosocial support to their staff. I mean, if there's a team who's trained in providing mental health support, they can help. Otherwise, some companies actually have this thing called employee assistance program where they outsource mental health help to an organization that's outside of the company so that staff can receive help in confidential help so that, even the human resource will not know about it.
Because often, Alvin, it is a combination of both. It's work. It also stems from the home, right? You're going through different types of stresses trying to manage the home as well during times like this.
Oh, definitely.
So how do you then determine how much of it is work and how much of it is, from the home?
It's difficult because, whatever happens at home will affect you and whatever happens at work would affect, home too, because it's all about relationships. And relationship not just with your co-workers and your family, but it's also with yourself. So that's where it gets very difficult to determine how much of it is work and how much of it is home, which is why when it comes to EAP or Employee Assistance Program, they do actually provide help to family members as well.
You said something interesting about relationship with yourself. Mm. How do we be aware of that? What is this relationship with yourself that you're referring to?
Yeah, well, it's basically...
I'm asking only because I think it needs to start there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it takes a lot of awareness and insight. It's not something that can be easy to a lot of people. Even to myself, sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. It starts with how well you are able to accept yourself and to be kind to yourself. That's having a good relationship with yourself. At the same time, be honest about it. Some people are afraid that if they're too kind to themselves, they end up being lazy. But if you're really kind to yourself, you won't be lazy because you know what needs to be done and you are more likely to do it. just that you are kind to yourself in a way that helps you identify that if you're tired and if you're feeling unwell, you do something about it. Like to rest, you know, take a short break and then continue. Or you may want to also seek help, ask help from others because you are stuck yourself. You don't know what to do. Therefore, the next thing to do is to ask for help.
Okay. We have a question here from Cheryl. Cheryl is saying, Professor Elvin, you talked about burnout. I think many people recognize it to some extent, but it feels almost impossible to make the changes you talked about, especially when it comes to changing the system. What if someone jumps from one job to another trying to look for a better solution, but they still experience the same problem, no matter where they are? So, In this case, you can't change the system. What do you do? How much of it is the system? How much of it is you?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, yes, we do live in a system and it's not easy at all to change the system. We can try. It's not going to change overnight. And it depends on what kind of balance you allow yourself to have. The reason why some people leave their job is because there's only so much they can take and that's okay. So if you find that you have got difficulties even after changing jobs here and there, I would suggest really again to seek help for yourself to perhaps get some insights as to how you might want to improve in order for you to cope. And these are some things that, you know, you cannot read a book and then go, aha, that's me and I should be doing this and that. It takes, you know, coaching of sort. Usually, I would suggest that you know someone see a counselor first to just suss out what's going on and what might be barriers to improvements and what are some of the skills that may need to be improved on or learned. Basically to figure out what triggers, what could be maintaining the problem, and what could be some helpful coping mechanism that has been used before that perhaps you can revisit.
And during COVID, based on the cases that you've seen, what would you say is the root cause of a lot of the anxiety and, you know, depression and all of that? Where is it coming from? Is it really the virus or the idea of the pandemic itself? Or are these issues that were already there that were waiting to be triggered by an incident like this?
Well, for some people, the issues are already there. And for those who have no issues yet, apart from the virus itself and the fear of getting infected, what we know from research is that the two main factors that's leading to a lot of distress, the first one, of course, is worries about financial security. That's a very real thing because a lot of people are losing jobs or those who are in jobs may have their salaries cut. Or there's a worry, there's a fear that that might actually happen. And the second one is being isolated. Being isolated in a way, you know, during our MCO, we're not supposed to go out. And even now, we're not supposed to. All the people are out everywhere. But the whole idea of being controlled, you know, we are control freaks as human beings. We don't like that kind of control. And having difficulties moving the way you would like to move and being closed in perhaps with people, you know, family or whoever, 24 hours, it can be quite a big pressure cooker. So adapting to that is difficult. You know, it's considered a new normal. Although by now it shouldn't be a new normal anymore. It's just normal. It's still difficult to cope with because it's not something that we know how to deal with really.
Is that probably why towards the end of the year I sort of witnessed a COVID fatigue or this whole isolation fatigue and everybody in the last 10 days or so, last 2 weeks or so, just let their hair down. and we're seeing the consequence of that now, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. People are out in full force. Well, you know, it's difficult to manage that because, you know, it's human nature.
So, you know, Elvin, there's always been concern about social connections and social isolation in the future because we always felt tech was going to come in, gadgets were going to come in, and we were concerned that, you know, social isolation was going to be a big problem in years to come. Given this situation now, do you really think social isolation will be as big of a problem as we thought it would be, because social connections, we are social creatures.
Mm. Yes. And from my experience so far, it's although we can get connected online like this, because I'm not in a studio, it's still lacking something, that human touch and that face-to-face interaction. And being social creatures, it's weird being this way. I'm not sure how long we are able to be this way. Perhaps it's also because we have experience otherwise. But for the younger ones who are growing up in this kind of situation, perhaps they might get used to it. I don't know. Because we're still so new at it, I have not seen any research to answer this question. I can only guess. I think your guess is as good as mine.
Okay. So we haven't done it for long enough to actually see the outcome of it or to observe the outcome of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back after the break. On the line with me, Professor Dr. Elvin Ng, a clinical psychologist. It's our mental health clinic. So you can call us and ask Elvin anything you want to know about mental health and work. That's the focus in today's episode. The number to call us, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. It's our mental health clinic, and on the line with me, Professor Dr. Elvin Ng, a clinical psychologist. We are discussing mental health and work, some of the challenges you're facing at work. Please just pick up the phone and give us a call if you have a burning question. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You don't have to tell us your name. We're happy to just ask Elvin the question. Elvin, we have a question from somebody via WhatsApp who wants to remain anonymous. This person says, I have colleagues and friends who are facing serious depression, and one has even talked about suicide. I feel like whatever I say to comfort them is not effective. So what should I do?
I would say get help in understanding what you can do to help friends with depression. This is where I'm pretty passionate about telling people to be more literate about mental health. Sometimes trying to comfort people, yes, that's good. But in trying to comfort and feeling that you are not getting through to them, it can be distressing. It can also be distressing to them because it all seems like pretty hopeless, which may also make it seem even doubly hopeless. So, you know, one of the things you can do is you can seek help from a counselor, not for yourself in a way, but to learn skills to how you may want to address the issue.
You wanna give me a 101, just very quickly. Some things that how we could approach it. Let's just take this example.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one example that you can do if you haven't done it is that you can just be with them. You don't even have to say anything. Be with them and offer whatever comfort you can offer.
Okay.
Can just be a warm drink, just being, you know, like how sometimes pets just come to you and just sit by you, but they don't want to be petted.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Just be there.
Just be there.
Mm-hmm.
And your presence
can,
is
But
good.
It can be frustrating sometimes when, you know, a colleague starts talking about suicide. I mean, alarm bells go off, Elvin. What do you do then?
Well, engage with the person, engage with the colleague, and understand that it is how they feel. And when I say engage also, I would suggest you engage in a way that's without any judgment. Hold your judgment, put it aside. Don't start thinking, oh, suicide's bad. Don't talk about this. No, don't. But allow them to express themselves and be curious about what they're going through. Let them tell you, the most important thing to do is to validate how they feel. Whatever they feel is real. And to validate how they're feeling can actually be a huge help. Even if they feel like they want to take their own life, validate that that's how they actually feel.
How do you do that?
Well, how you do that would be to say, well, I hear you say this is what you mean. This is how you feel. It feels really hopeless. That's what I see in you. Is that what you are saying? So if you're not too sure, you can check back with them. You're basically mirroring how they are feeling. And from my experience, and this is also from research, and the more you're able to mirror how others feel, the more validated they feel. And to validate a person is basically to tell them that, hey, I see you, I hear you, I see your existence, and I accept your existence, even though you don't want to exist. That's the kind of message you want to show them. Because people who feel suicidal tend to have a lack of sense of belonging. They tend to feel that they are a burden to society. So if you, you know, tell them that they shouldn't be thinking this way, what you're showing there is a form of rejection. So you don't want to be rejecting them. You want to be accepting them without any prejudice or what's that word? Yeah.
Judgment.
Sometimes I forget things.
It's just judgment, really.
Yeah, judgment. Pure acceptance.
Okay. And beyond which, do we ask them to get help? Or, you know, and sometimes people don't want to get help. Then what do you do?
That's okay. I mean, like I said earlier, you can get help and you can bring them with you. You say, hey, look, I don't know what to do here. You know, can you help me out? Come to help with me and see what we can do about this situation.
Okay. All right. We have a question here on disclosing to employees about mental health. There's always apprehension to disclose to your employer that you have a mental health issue for fear of stigma or even getting fired. How can they explain to the employees that they are, in fact, struggling with work because of their mental health issues without it being dismissed?
It's a tricky thing. I can understand that the fear is there. Apprehension is definitely there because even if you ask me, let's say if I've got a psychiatric diagnosis, would I actually tell my employer? My honest answer is no. Because,
oh, dear.
Yes, I know it comes from me, but I'm being honest here. I know the stigma is there. I can trust some people, but the problem is our mental health literacy is still that low. And for us to be comfortable, we need to improve our mental health literacy in everyone so that we address stigma. I can be comfortable in saying that I engage with an employee assistance program. I was burnt out last year. In fact, I burnt out 2 years ago. I went to see the psychologist. And I tell people about it without any fear. But that doesn't mean I've got a psychiatric illness.
Yeah.
I just have adjustment problems. So that could be one way of opening up to say, hey, I'm seeking help because I have got difficulties coping. And this help does not mean it's the end of the world, that I'm going to be like this for life. Just like how we seek help when we've got a fever, although these days it's it's pretty drastic. You know, we should do the same when we have got emotional difficulties or cognitive difficulties. So if we can phrase it that way to show that, hey, I'm trying to take care of myself here so that I can be better, can be more functional and productive at work, you know, I need the support.
Okay. We have a question here from, okay, there's no name, but Ty. Ty is asking, I've experienced these symptoms. I'm scared of an earthquake happening. An image of stones falling into my head always comes in. Can I know what type of sickness this is?
Well, first thing is I wouldn't label it as sickness. If you have those kinds of worries, it falls within the category of having anxiety. Whether or not it's a disorder is not for any of us to say. I would suggest that you go for an assessment to find out, because we cannot know if certain symptoms are due to a disorder. It could just basically mean you have got symptoms, you have got worries, and we all do have all kinds of worries. I'm afraid of heights, but doesn't mean I've got a disorder, not necessarily. Because when it comes to, well, mental disorders, this is very, very frequently asked question. My answer is usually, if you have difficulties functioning in your day-to-day life because, for example, you have your anxiety, then yes, it may be due to a psychological disorder. But what's more important is that you seek help for it before it actually gets worse.
Okay. Next question, and I think this is really quite relevant, though not related to the workplace. So how do I handle myself and my fear when I feel death is coming through with COVID-19, with somebody coming knocking on my door to say that I'm actually positive? And this is coming from James.
That's
I think this whole idea, this whole idea of people turning up at your door with PPE and all, it is really quite, it's a scary thought.
It is. Yeah, it's a very real thing as well. Yeah. I have that fear too. You know, anytime that can happen. My wife works at the hospital, so she's a frontliner. Anytime, you know, I can receive something like that. What do we do? Well, this is where we need to get educated about COVID, about what we can do. Learn the steps. If this happens, then what's going to happen? I must admit, I don't know myself exactly, but from what the Ministry of Health has been informing people, at least these days, the hospitals are pretty full, so you may need to isolate at home or get admitted to a private hospital that is lost for words again.
That takes in COVID patients.
That's
at the,
right.
At the
yeah.
moment, private hospitals don't. I'm not sure whether that has changed. But I think if you're asymptomatic, you're advised to stay at home and isolate at home, away from your family. If you do have symptoms, then that's another question. I think they'll guide you accordingly.
Yeah. So getting to know that, and if all else fails, you don't really know what's going on, then stay in contact. Stay in contact with friends. Reach out for help. Basically, connect. Connection is the best thing that you can do.
And if it's any consolation, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily a good thing, but the death rate from COVID is 2%. It's a relatively low death rate, and most of us recover from it. Fingers crossed, So we have another question here, and you know, your question about some employees say they can't work because they are depressed or dealing with mental health problems at the workplace. But this question is asking, but how do I know whether they're struggling with a mental health issue or are they just being lazy?
It's that's always a question. The thing is, we don't really know what people are going through, even if they may seem okay. If they say that they have a problem, we treat it as so. If they are lazy, we'll find out soon. So, I mean, it's them digging their own grave. But I would just trust them and provide the help that's needed.
Okay. Next question. What is the difference between anxiety and depression?
All right. Well, anxiety is more towards fear of what might happen in the future. Whereas depression tend to be more of, regrets and shame and guilt of the past. So one's future related and one's more towards the past.
Okay, all right. Simply put, that's the main difference, lah.
That's the main difference.
Okay. As a leader of a team, how should I cope with motivating my teammates when I'm facing negativity and feeling demotivated myself? And I think a lot of people in leadership positions actually feel this.
Yes, and being a leader myself also, what has worked for me, and this is also something that's supported by research, quite recent research actually, is also actually to show your own vulnerability and to work on your vulnerability as a team, because your vulnerability affects others, and before you get too negative about it and bring the others down, you address it. And that can also inspire others to look at their own vulnerabilities and deal with that as well. Because if we can all group think together to address each other's difficulties, perhaps even to complement each other, it can be a very empowering situation. So as a leader, I would encourage you to not be shy about sharing your own personal difficulties. Work-related, of course. Don't bring your family into it. Yeah, and see what you can do, because no one's perfect, and none of us know exactly what to do in every situation, and that's okay. Get help and allow that to be an opportunity for others to show leadership.
Okay. Next question. Sometimes I find it very difficult to focus on the task that I'm doing and constantly distracted by what's happening around me or even be on my phone. Could that be a sign of stress?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, stress can affect your concentration, anxiety as well. So can depression. So if you're worried about it, again, I would suggest that you seek help to assess what's going on and what you can do about it.
Okay. We'll come back very quickly after this market update and continue this open clinic, mental health clinic, on mental health and work. You can give us a call or text or, tweet us a question. Dr. Elvin Ng, a clinical psychologist on the show with us today. He's on the line. Number to call us, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasudhi. If you have just joined us, it's our mental health clinic with Professor Dr. Elvin Ng, a clinical psychologist. We are discussing today, it's an open clinic on, you can call us and ask us anything you want in relation to your mental health as well as work. We've gone through quite a bit actually with Dr. Elvin. I mean, I think one of the things you spoke about, which is really quite powerful, Elvin, is how important the relationship with yourself really is. And when I asked you what that is, you said it's how you accept yourself, to be kind to yourself, and how you should be honest with yourself. Just very basic guides as to how you need to reassess or assess your relationship with yourself, which is extremely important. The other thing you also spoke about is the distress that's come about over the last 1 year, perhaps, has been mostly financially related. People worrying about financial security as well as isolation. The two main things that's mm-hmm. come through during COVID. And I think one of your advice is really for us all to be literate when it comes to mental health, to understand mental health issues, or how to even broach the topic of mental health with people. And the question about suicide and how do you support someone who could be talking to you about how they feel like taking their lives. You've said to just be with them and listen, to engage with no judgment, to be curious about what they're actually going through, and to validate what they're feeling, just basically to accept them and not to tell them what they're feeling is actually not happening. What you're saying is to accept everything that they're feeling is actually real, very, very real. Elvin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And I would like to add that, it's always easier said than done.
I know.
A lot of people ask me questions and when I answer them, they go, but you make it sound so easy. I say, yeah, well, because you want an answer, I tell you. But, I can say that you need to keep on trying. You need to keep on practicing. If it doesn't work, then seek help. Okay. I seek help too.
Yes, I was going to tell you, but then I thought I won't kill the mood of the whole show. But yes, but I think it's a good start, right? Just accept, listen. They're very good steps. And as you said, after that, if if they need help, offer that you will go for help as well together with them. So we've got another question here from Pavin Raj. He says, how do I motivate myself to work when I feel and know in the end it does not matter?
Wow.
This is a tough one, really.
Yes, it's a tough one. It feels like, work is just pretty hopeless. That's also a symptom of burnout. Doesn't mean you have burnout, but it's a very common symptom. When you feel that it doesn't matter at all, what's the whole point of even going to work? And that's a problem, because you and your work somehow doesn't seem to be compatible. I would suggest, to talk about it with your superior, supervisor, or at least colleagues first, and to find out what's going on. And because if you see it as a problem, then that's good. Because there are a lot of people who don't care about work, who still work and don't see it as a problem. And I say it's good because you've got the insight that, you know, continuing is not helpful for you or for your workplace, then you need to do something about it. And it's only fair for you to let your colleagues know and speak to your supervisor or superior about it and see if there can be some form of intervention when needed. And if you find that there's nothing much you can do about it, perhaps you may want to find something else.
You know, Elvin, you've spoken a lot about speaking to the supervisor or speaking to colleagues and all of that to figure out or to come up with some sort of understanding of how you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. But should you always assess the relationship with yourself first before you do anything else?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it's not an easy thing to do also, because sometimes when you want to speak to someone, even if you don't know much about your own relationship with yourself, it's still helpful to reach out, because I don't think we can know everything about ourselves, even myself now. You know, I'm wondering why I'm having difficulties looking for words. Perhaps I'm burnt out as well.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's been a tough year, and I'm sure many people have come and, you know, you sort of internalize a lot of these things at the same time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So I don't think we need to wait until we know ourselves better. That's why, you know, it's good to ask for help, to check with others, get some opinions. And basically, that kind of connection can be very helpful. We know from a longitudinal research that the single most important factor that affects our quality of life is not even our physical health. It's our social health. The number of meaningful relationships you have with others. So, you know, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be connected, social. And really, if you have got difficulties, you want to bring it out with your coworkers, your superiors, I would say just do it. And if they have difficulties accepting you as being who you are, then that gives you the opportunity to improve your relationships with them.
Meaningful relationships.
Got to remember
that one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chia is asking, when you say when you're advised to seek help, can you elaborate what help actually means? A person who's going through depression or has mental health issues may not understand what that really means.
Yeah, well, first point of help, I suppose, can be friends or family. Just say, hey, you know, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I feel like my life has no meaning at all. I don't like this feeling. Can you help? And the other kind of help that I really would encourage people to go for would be professional help. You don't know where to go, who to see. I would say start with a counselor first, just to, you know, figure things out. What's going on? If there's a need for you to see a psychiatrist because you may need some medication to regulate your moods, then you're likely to be referred to a psychiatrist. And do not be scared if you see the psychiatrist, because it doesn't mean you're crazy. Too many people have this fear of being crazy. There's more to mental health and mental illness than just being crazy. Sometimes how we are, well, the thing is, how we are is... it's biological, psychological, and social. So as much as you try to stay positive, if within yourself your brain chemicals are not so balanced, you may need to have some other chemicals to help you regulate the chemicals in your brain to manage your moods. So that's where sometimes you may need some medication. Okay. And while you're on medication, you may need to see a counselor again or the psychologist to help you learn skills to manage yourself better. So once you have learned that you may not need those kind of help anymore, you're okay. Then you're independent and you can function again.
Okay. Next question we have is, I'm probably not alone in saying this, but work has been crazy stressful the whole of last year, and I've kind of been indulging in some things to cope with it, snacking a lot, online games, and not really in the mood to talk to anyone. Some of my friends say it's not healthy, but I'm not feeling depressed or suicidal. So, you know, don't you think that there's really any, do you think there's anything wrong with what I'm feeling right now?
nothing wrong with what you're feeling, because that's something that a lot of people are feeling, including myself. And sometimes we engage in all kinds of activities to get distracted, just to, you know, feel at least something nice, something good. Some people go into drinking alcohol, and some might binge on TV series, all kinds of stuff just to get distracted, because, you know, it's so gloomy and stressful at work. You just need a break. But that's okay, as long as it doesn't become too extreme. If you find yourself isolating yourself from friends, that can be a problem. So again, it's also a sign of burnout. So do something about it. If you find that it's problematic, seek help. There's nothing wrong with what you're feeling, because you're being human. We all feel that way. But what can go wrong is you take it to an extreme and it becomes unhealthy. So before you get it way, I would suggest to seek help. Like what I did, I went to see a psychologist who was my former student. So it was kind of fun. She saw me walking through the door. And just to sort things out.
You know, Alvin, you are not able to join us in the studio today, but, you know, you're on Zoom with me and I can see you. Of course, I'll, you know, everybody listening can't see you, but I'm listening to you and I'm watching you. You've got a lot going on with you, is what I'm sensing. I can feel how heavy you're carrying something really heavy within. What is it?
Well, there's lots of work to do and there's lots to focus on. You know, I've done radio before, and I also noticed that I don't normally talk this way on radio.
It's
I'm
not
normally
me.
A bit more calm.
You know.
No, it's not you. It's not you. Yeah. I guess it's also because of Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, having to lean forward and speak to the mic. It's different. The whole dynamics is different when you are speaking online as opposed to being in a studio and talking face to face. So part of it is that, and part of it is, you know, having lots of things on my mind, which is, I think, why I have difficulties finding words. But that's how things are. Things have been over the last year. Although my portfolio has changed, I should by right be more relieved. But I suppose it's still whatever that's carrying on from last year. So it's still there.
Okay. Do you have coping mechanisms? How do you manage this?
Oh, lots of coping mechanisms. Well, firstly, of course, asking for help, because I have to model that behavior.
Yeah.
It's useful for me. I do exercises. The one who called earlier to say that snack, well, instead of snacking, I actually exercise, and that really helps. In fact, I think the whole being isolated in MCO, I've become more fit than ever before.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I've lost like about 5 or 6 kilos. And in a good way, because I was kind of overweight then. And I become stronger, more fit. This is without the gym.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So I use that as part of my coping. And sleep, I guess. Mm-hmm. Sleep helps for me.
Are you able to sleep with the way you're feeling?
At first, no. But eventually, yes. So that's one thing. And to connect with friends. I noticed that I haven't been connecting enough, actually. So that's one of the things that I should be doing more of.
What stopped you from connecting?
I suppose work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Work just took over my life. Just as with most people, when you start working from home, you lose the boundary. Because work and home kind of like merge.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't really know when you're supposed to work, when you're not supposed to work. And there's this sense of responsibility that you need to respond to every email, every WhatsApp, when things seem to be like an emergency all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that I think many people are going through.
How much do you fear of contracting COVID-19? I mean, your wife is a frontline worker. And does that have an impact as well?
Well, I think I'm more chill about it now. Like you say, you know, the death rate is that low. And you look at the Malaysian death rate, it's actually pretty low if you look at the numbers of people getting infected. Look at hardy people, I suppose. It just depends on how you actually manage yourself, your hygiene. And if you do get infected, then you just need to know what to do. Be responsible. in terms of that, I'm quite okay. Hospitals nearby. And I think overall my hygiene is really good. So yeah, I'm just more afraid of other people.
Yeah, people who are not careful. I think numbers are rising. Everybody just stay at home, really, is the advice. Our healthcare system is getting, is under stress now. It's getting there. We're getting there. If we don't do something about it, it will be stressed and choking at some stage. So you really want to stay at home. Would you have a message for us on mental health and work?
Well, back to it's always easier said than done. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to each other. Let's give each other a break now and then. Focus on what's needed. Focus on the objectives that you want to see rather than blaming one another. Because we're all in this together. Let's work with each other and be as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm. Look after yourself, Elvin, will you? We need to have you on the next show. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today. Professor Dr. Elvin Ng, clinical psychologist in our mental health clinic, speaking to us about mental health and work. Thank you all very much for your questions on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.